B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli this hour. For a famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Mike Garofalo, the NFL Network, comes on at 4:30. It is General Knowledge Wednesday. And, of course, General Knowledge Wednesday is presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testo. Today's General Knowledge Prize, first 10 get questions. We get 10. Tyrone always takes the under. You get tickets to the Philly's only boat show. March 6th through March 8th is at the Expo Center in Oaks, PA. Shop 25 dealers from 4 states. Details at phillyboatshow.com. And also, the Flyers Wives Carnival is the grand prize. You'll get a 4-pack of tickets to Flyers Wives Carnival, which is this Sunday, February 23rd. A good time always had by all. All right, we've been talking about the playoff futures of the Sixers and Flyers right now and how you feel about it. So let me add another layer to this show. So Aubrey Huff is a former Major League Baseball player who played for the Giants in 2010 when they, of course, beat the Philadelphia Phillies. And they're having a reunion in San Francisco of the 2010 team. It's like reunions that we've had here for former Philly teams and stuff. So the Giants have disinvited Aubrey Huff. Now, Aubrey Huff, since he left baseball, I don't know if he had when he was playing, but since he left baseball, has been a Twitter maniac tweeting ultra-radical right-wing theorists. He's an ultra-right-wing theorist, basically. And he seems to be a sexist and a xenophobe. And a lot of his tweets have been distasteful. So the Giants disinvited him, even though he was an important part of that team, from the ceremony. He's the only guy that they have disinvited because they have obviously made a judgment that his tweets are not in line with what the organization thinks is proper. And San Francisco is a very liberal city, so they're hiding behind that. Now, here's my problem with it. Because, as I said before, I think he's kind of ignorant meathead. And if you read some of the tweets, he's had tweets, anti-women tweets about women coaching in sports. And he said you should kidnap all Iranians. What did he say there? Here it is. Kidnapping Iranian women.
Yeah.
And he said, we can bring them back here as they fan us and feed us grapes. And
amongst other things.
Right. And then he posted a photo of a target range sheet full of bullet holes in a caption with a tweet that said, getting my boys trained up on how to use a gun in the unlikely event Bernie Sanders beats the real Donald Trump 2020. So it goes on and on and on. So the Giants go, no, this is not the type of guy. But, however, he was part of the team. And this is basically censorship. Like, you can't, like, take the guy who played for your team, you're honoring the team. You can't say you're the one who's not invited because we don't like the stuff that you tweet. Even though if you put it on a level playing field, what he's tweeting is just total ignorant stuff. Right? But you can't make judgments on people because they don't fit your view of what you should be. You run a baseball team. It is a public trust baseball team. There are many fans of that team that are maybe as conservative as this guy. So you're going to single the guy out? My thing is, invite him. Introduce him. The fans will have the reaction to him either way. But you're censoring him. So where is that right that you censor the guy?
You're not censoring him.
Of course you're censoring him. You're disinviting him to the honoring of that team. You're totally censoring him.
The guy can, if they put limits on what the guy can say, he can say whatever he wants on his Twitter. He's not getting arrested. He's not getting in trouble. He's just uninvited. And for what he said, he should be uninvited. And let's take it to that level. And you're also, I think you're combining something very wrongly. just because you like Trump doesn't mean you're okay with kidnapping and raping Iranian women. He is okay with that. I don't care who he votes for. He can't say that and then be allowed in polite society.
I get it. But you got to let the people make that choice.
No.
You can't make that choice because then you have to go through everybody else's political views and decide whether they're worthy to be honored by your day. Like, so you Kurt Schill, let's look at Kurt Schill.
You keep going to political views. I don't care who he votes for. If he's okay with raping and kidnapping Iranian women, he's out.
It's one and the same. They're ultra-radical right-wing tweets, which Kurt Schilling puts out all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Phillies, when they honored that, he came back.
Right.
Right. And they didn't. You can't make a. What I'm saying is, you can't make a value judgment because this is a team that kind of belongs to fans. So you, as an organization, you can't say, all right, everybody else is welcome. You're not welcome.
But why That's not?
Because it's not American.
But it is, because
it's totally not.
Okay, so let's take the 08 team. Let's say there was someone on the 08 team that came out and said, all black people are terrible. And then you're going to honor that 08 team in 2018 for the 20-year anniversary. That person can't come. I don't care about who you voted for. You said you don't like black people. My company's okay with black people. You're out. To me, they're not one and the same. He was given an opportunity to say, did you mean what you said or not?
About Iranian women being sex slaves.
Right.
Kidnapping them and making them sex slaves.
Right, and his response was, nah, I'm good with everything I've said. He had an opportunity.
That's beyond politics. That's not politics. Just like humanitarian.
I'm blending politics with his ignorant statements. It's one and the same to me. You are saying, I don't like what you tweeted, so therefore you are not welcome on this team, even though we're going to honor this team. I'd be better off if they didn't honor the damn team.
Well, no, because
censor a guy.
No, because if they were going to invite him and he shows up, it's almost like the organization is condoning the kidnapping.
They're not condoning anything he says. When they introduce him, the fans will condone or they will not accept
that he wants to kidnap and sell Iranian women
and
sex
slavery. And
they'll
have to face the wrath in public for that. But when you make a decision to censor, that's not a good message.
Well, he wouldn't be invited to my party.
Believe me, if I live next door to the guy, I'd move. But this is a different type of thing. We're talking about individual rights and your individual decisions on things. This is the San Francisco Giants honoring a team that he was part of. You can't just say, okay, you 24 are welcome, you not. Because you can look in everybody's closet and say, you know what? That thing you did 7 years ago, somebody just called me and said you were the whatever. So you're not going to come either. Yes. When you get into the business of censorship, you're in a bad area.
Yeah, but see, that's where I disagree. I don't think most players think that slavery's all right. I don't think that. I think that if you only took out guys that did that, I don't think you would be doing a big, great harm to things. I think every private organization must have a line. And I think I feel very comfortable about Iranian sex slavery being a line where you get invited to things.
Okay. That's all that points out with this guy is everybody will look at that and go, this guy is an ignorant meathead. So when they introduce him, boo! And humiliate the guy.
Maybe.
To me, that's more effective.
Maybe. Or they cheer him.
They're not going to cheer him.
They might.
Well, guess what? Then you expose yourself. People that cheer him get exposed. I'm all about people getting exposed for what they are rather than staying behind a closet. You want to get exposed as a xenophobe sexist? There you are. You're in the middle of the stadium, and people are going to let you know what they think of your views.
Yeah, but then don't you think that's kind of like giving a platform to that mindset?
No.
Like giving a voice to it?
Giving a platform? White supremacists get a platform when they get a permit to march in the street? They get a platform.
Yeah,
this
but
is
that's
America. Everybody gets their own platform
in a public street.
Yeah,
if they apply for. Right, if they go to a private organization.
It's
a baseball team.
It's a public venue. It's not a private organization.
The Giants are a private organization.
They're a public accommodation. They're not a private organization in the sense that they provide a public accommodation for people. It's a public setting. It's not a private setting.
If it were the Phillies that were doing this, I would be horrified.
Yeah,
the organization that I support allowed that. Yeah, I would be horrified.
You have the right to say that. You have a right to be done with the Phillies. Everybody has the right to think what they want. The people that think this are totally misguided, ignorant fools, but at least they are exposing themselves.
What I'm saying is he has the right to say it, and no one's taken away that right. His Twitter account, I mean, he's gotten in trouble on Twitter because he's threatened people, but that's on him. I'm saying he can still say that. He was not arrested for his views. He was not in prison for his views. He hasn't been censored. It's only been said, hey, here at the San Francisco Giants, we're against slavery.
He's totally been censored. He's been censored by being disinvited and singled out. That's censorship.
That's censorship.
Yes.
Okay.
I just think it's not tolerating that type of person.
I am not disagreeing with any of your viewpoints. Don't get me wrong. What I'm talking about is the idea of censoring somebody because you don't agree with their views. That's like me. Guess what? I don't agree with any right-wing view. You can't listen.
So you're saying that you just
I'm going to censor all of you. You don't listen. Damn it.
But that, to me, that's not censorship.
No.
To me, censorship
it's just
is
not being invited to a party.
Right, is when you get in trouble in some sort of form, some sort of you lose a right over what you say.
They're just like, we don't like you.
Let's see who's answering phones today. Nat, Connor, Josh.
Josh.
All right. Do you support President Trump? Yes. You're out. That's censorship, isn't it?
I mean, not really.
Sure
not
it is.
But the thing is, if he just supported President Trump, then there should be no reason not to invite him. He's the one who's going far beyond that.
His views offend you. I get that. They offend me, too.
It's not that his views offend me. His views are dangerous. And if I have a private club, and I still disagree with you, the Giants are, if that's the case, I should be able to just play for the Phillies.
You're not going.
It's private.
They can make the rules. You're missing the point, okay? Because I don't want to go lawyer on you here, but the San Francisco Giants Park is a public accommodation. Yes, they are a private organization, but they provide a public accommodation.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make them purely private.
But they do control who's on their roster, right? Privately. We don't get to pick, right?
Well, I'm talking about the people that patronize the game, the fans that come to the game.
But only thing they're controlling is not the fans. The fans can do whatever they want. The only thing the Giants are controlling is the private people that come to their ceremony that they own. That's where, to me, it's not public. Because if that's the case, I want to be honored this summer by the Phillies. But I'm not because they do what they want. Because it's private.
Mm-hmm. They are honoring the team accomplishment is what they're honoring. So it shouldn't matter to them what the personal views of anybody on that team are. And if it is, then you're going to have to get into everybody's laundry. He has exposed himself enough, Aubrey Huff, to the point where people are going to be able to make a decision on his views when he is in that park.
Right,
but most of it's going to be negative.
Right, but he was also an employee at the time. If you violate...
He's not an employee now.
It doesn't matter.
He was an employee once, and now they don't want to have anything to do with him.
Okay,
are the San Francisco Giants paying you in retirement?
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, then you become a private citizen at that point.
Right, so
and you
he's
can
just
have
not
your
invited.
Own views.
Yeah, he's not invited.
He has a right to those views, though. I'm not taking away his rights. He has every right to view, say whatever he wants.
But they just don't want to condone that type of mindset.
Well, you're thinking that they condone if they invite him.
Yes, I do.
I'm thinking that the fans will make up their mind on whether they condone him or not. And that's what America is. Let's go to Ryan in Somerdale. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Mikey, what's going on?
What's up, Ryan?
I want to talk Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sixers are going to the finals, and I'm not talking Eastern Conference, my friend. This is the reason. For one, I think they're better than almost every team in the East. And the reason why I think they could beat Milwaukee is because they switch on the pick and roll better than any other team in the league, size-wise, against Giannis. So with our starting lineup, if you look at it, you figure Josh Richardson probably becomes the worst switch. And Josh Richardson's one of the tallest two-guard defenders in the league. He's fast. He's scrappy. And with the shooting and offense we now have off the bench, if Josh Richardson gets in foul trouble, it doesn't put you behind the eight ball like it may have before the trade.
Okay.
Now,
again, you're looking at it on a very small scale here. All right, you're looking at, okay, I've seen the Sixers play the Bucks one game, and this is what they can do. We're talking about a seven-game series where they don't have home court advantage.
Yeah, that's correct. But a big part of the offense in the NBA now is the pick and roll. So a lot of times the reason Giannis is so effective is because he gets don't get me wrong, Giannis can beat most players in the league, but they switch off to a lot of terrible defenders on him, and not just terrible, but mediocre. So if you can keep Ben Simmons on in most of the game, who I think is in running for Defensive Player of the Year, Ben can run with him all game. We know that. So then your switches, you still have your length. And Ben,
I listen to you. Everything you say is making sense. What I'm saying is they're going to have to do that for an extended period of time against a team where they don't have a home court advantage. And I think you're taking one element of what they can do to them, and you're projecting it that they can do it four times.
I understand what you're saying, and I think the reason why the Sixers haven't been great on the road is, why are they so good at home? Because of their defense. And the amount of money, I'm not saying it's an excuse, but the amount of money these guys get paid nowadays, they don't play defense right at two games. I think starting this year,
it's fair. So you're saying they're going to be able to buckle down and actually win games with this great length and great defense in a four-game
season.
That's fair.
I think Embiid's going to have at least 25 mm-hmm. game against Milwaukee, though, because Giannis is going to be on 25. So you got to get scoring from Joe in that series.
Okay. All right. I'm just looking at the ability to score when they need to score. Before they made the deals, they didn't have that ability. Now they have a little better action there. So, again, I got to see how this goes. Because all you can say about defense, and I get it, you still got to make shots to win games. You got to make threes to win games. It's a different NBA. And you got to beat a team four times. So, you know, what may work once, is it going to work four times? And you're going to have to win at least one of those games on the road. Let's go Rocco and Cape May. What's up, Rocco?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. You guys still are the best sports show on the East Coast, and I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you, Rocco.
I have a Sixers point and then a general NBA point. The Sixers point, I disagree. I think they will go to the conference finals. They'll go six or seven games with either Milwaukee or Boston, and I think they can win it if, an asterisk, they're healthy. That's the main thing. They've only played 38% with the starting five all year now. If they can keep healthy, I think they can win.
Okay.
And my other point, NBA...
Win? You're talking about winning the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and healthy. Health counts. That's the whole thing, undermining everything. And the other point that I have is I saw on the NBA network today that Jay Wright is considering the New York Knicks.
No, he's not considering.
He's not?
No, they seem to be interested in him. He's not.
Oh, he's not. You see, but they also threw in there that he may be interested if Brown goes.
Yeah, I don't know where they're getting this stuff. I think it's just, I think people make up stuff.
Okay. Can I get a general knowledge
question? Yes, you may get a general knowledge question. Well, we haven't done one in a while. Where are we here? Did we do De Niro? Oh, the De Niro movie. All right, actors, directors. These are actors who directed their own movie. And I'll give you the two movies. So let's go with Zoolander and Tropic Thunder.
Vin Diesel.
It's Ben Stiller. Did you see Zoolander?
I did.
Yes.
I enjoyed Zoolander.
Did you? Ridiculously good looking.
Yeah, I thought.
I thought it was silly fluff nonsense.
Wow. Did you see Tropic Thunder?
Yes.
Did you like that?
A little racist, but it was an interesting idea. I'm not a Ben Stiller fan.
See, I think he's very good.
I don't. Anything he does not jive with me.
I generally like his characters that he plays.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because they're
like White Goodman in Dodgeball.
I also liked him in a long Reuben Pfeffer.
See, that's why. Like, you see, he does a movie like Dodgeball. I go, I'm out.
See, I enjoyed that movie.
Well, you and I are on different trains, my friend.
Yeah.
One's going north, one's going south. And this guy's going, what do you want from me? 610-632-0975. on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
General Knowledge Wednesday. It's time to get an update on our Twitter poll at 3:30 with Natalie Aganoff. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,000 votes on this one today. Will both the Sixers and the Flyers make a playoff run? 79% say yes, 21% say no.
Okay. Thank you very much. So last night, policy, Tyrone, has been... So you were out a few days, so I have this new strategy to enhance my betting total.
Okay.
On our favorite website.
Yes.
Like SugarHouse.com. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to get little dribs and drabs to get it up to a point where I can really pound. So, just trying to replenish the till here.
Right.
So I've been playing all these no-lose money line bets.
So which one did you play?
So last night I go, look at this, like Penn State and as home against Illinois. There's no way they lose that game. They won 9 in a row. They're really good at home. And I look at the price and it was -370.
All right.
Yeah, it was too high of a price.
To get your value.
Right. So I bailed out of it.
Lucky.
And they lose the game outright at home. But I did
outright
go with Wisconsin at home.
Oh, you went with Wisconsin
against Purdue for a little cashola.
And so, you cashed that one.
Yes. Cashed that ticket on a money line winner.
There you go.
So tonight it's an interesting play and I need your advice.
All right.
Your squad
mm-hmm.
is at the rack where they are 17-0.
Yes.
Against, frankly, Michigan's playing better than them right now.
Yes.
Rutgers is a slim, in a revenge situation, mind you, a slim 1-point favorite in an arena where they're 17-0 this year. Now, that's screaming Michigan to me.
That would be screaming Michigan. Yes, the line.
The line is screaming Michigan.
Yes. But I have to say that's a stay away. Because I can't bet
that's
against my squad.
That's a stay away.
But you,
uh-huh.
I don't know. But I couldn't bet against my squad.
Well, but now I know you're not going to bet against your squad. But are you going to give an opinion on the game?
Well,
whether you bet on it or not, I think your instincts are telling you that it's a Wolverines night at the rack.
That's what that's telling me. It's hard, and 17-0. I mean, it's hard to go undefeated at home. It's hard. 1-point line. I watched the Michigan game while I was on vacation. The last game, they looked good. The line says go Michigan, but
it's revenge too.
It's
a revenge situation for Rutgers 17-0 at home. They're only a point favorite.
If it was three. See, three, I think that should be three. Even with Michigan playing well, one.
That's why it got my attention.
Yeah, that's, you know where to go with that one.
I have to get Michigan outright.
That makes me uncomfortable, though. But yeah, that's what the line's saying. Yeah. I will be betting Rutgers.
All right. Well, let's go. You said you're not going to bet Rutgers. You're not going to bet this game because you're already scared of it.
I'm probably going
to.
Yeah,
you're scared to death of it. I can tell in your eyes. There's fear in your eyes for crying out loud.
The lines, that doesn't make sense.
That's what I mean. It's scaring you. You're not going to bet it.
And Rutgers just came off a win. Rutgers coming off a win, too.
It's a stay away game for you, you said.
Yeah, stay away.
All right. Let's go to Robbie in Delaware. Robbie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robbie.
What's going on, Mike and Tyrone?
What's up, Robbie? How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. I'm wishing you guys all a happy Wednesday, a wonderful Wednesday, as a matter of fact, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I want to touch on the Sixers. I think we're going to be all right. I called you back in, November, and we had a nice little head-to-head about the Tobias Harris trade that got him here. And since then, he's been playing like an all-star. I kind of feel like he got snubbed, but I feel like the Sixers will be good, but my question to you guys is who, after Al Horford, because I think Al Horford needs to come off the bench, after Al Horford, who would you say should be the next man up?
Off the bench?
Oh, yeah, off the bench.
Burks? Yeah.
As a ball handler?
Yeah, he's a ball handler, and they can move Ben when they got Burks on the, they're going to start Robinson, right? So Horford comes off the bench, and then Burks. Well, who would you go with? Who else is left?
off the bench?
Yes. Thibault comes in for defensive reasons. Are you gonna play Korkmaz as one of your early subs?
Oh no! I mean,
Shake's at the end of the bench now, bro. He got over recruited.
Yeah.
Shake didn't get a fair shake. He brought in two other players. There's not that much room for Shake anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Phillies, I feel like the Phillies, well, they'll have a decent season. I really don't see us making the playoffs. I don't feel like the bullpen is where it needs to be. I like the culture change. I like bringing in some hard-nosed veterans and stuff like that. But if you ask me, I feel like the Phillies will finish like we did last year.
I agree. I think they're 85 win tops.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a lot of backlash on that. Anyway, let me give you your general knowledge question. Famous Mormons. Are you ready for this? Famous Mormons. All right, so let's go with this. He was a member of a family of singers that included Wayne, Merrill, Donnie, and Marie.
Osmonds?
Yes! The Osmonds is correct.
I didn't realize they were Mormons.
Oh, very famous Mormons. Oh, yeah. They were way back in the day Mormon.
And that was part of the stereotype because of how many children there were.
Yes. Oh, right.
I don't
want to
be, you know, because that's probably not always been true.
Oh, and they were the puritanical Mormon American singers.
Singers. Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize that they were Mormon.
Yeah, that was... My dad used to
tell
me about
that. I gotta say, Marie Osmond looks fantastic for her age.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
How old is she?
At some point, when you're that age, I don't even care if you've had work done. Because Humpty Dumpty, they couldn't, at that age, put together. That's her. Some of that's her, no matter how much work she's done.
Yeah,
she's only 60 plus.
She's only 60.
Well, I'm telling you, 60 years old. You mean only 60?
Yeah, I mean, Sophia Loren still looks like a fox, and she's like in her 80s.
Yeah, but that's a little different.
No, I don't think she's looking like a fox.
Sophia Loren?
At 80?
That's what I hope I look like at 80. After 60, all bets are off. I'll just be...
You're a little too far now at the 80 Sophia Loren.
She looks great. You don't think Sophia Loren looks great?
He has been down on...
At 80.
How about Jane Fonda?
She looked good at the Oscars.
She looks great.
Yeah. But I mean, I have to agree with Mike. She's not an object for...
Desire.
Yeah. She looks
great. Okay, well, as a woman, you want to see somebody who ages gracefully. I mean, I know she's had plastic surgery, but she still looks
right.
Beautiful.
And for 80, you're absolutely right. I'm saying
she's 85.
Yeah, that changes. I'm saying there are a lot of men out there who, if they saw Marie Osmond, and even if they didn't know who she was, they'd be like, look at that girl over there.
I was never a Sophia Loren guy.
What?
Yeah. Never was, even in her heyday.
That's a violation.
Hi.
Come on, man.
You
know what it is.
Well, I don't know.
Part of it is, Mike, I feel like you never really fully say it. I don't know if you're a big fan of the Italian woman.
I'm actually not.
Yeah, that plays a big role.
I'm not. But, and by all accounts, like, I look at her, and I can see why people would think it's beauty. But it's just never, like, plugged into me.
See, I think I think Mike's deep down worried that she start throwing pots and pans.
That is why. He has this stereotype.
I think he has that in his mind. She's going to throw the pots
and pans with her.
So no Gina Lollobrigida either?
Like none of the all-time Italian beauties? You didn't like any of the all-time Italian beauties? Like the stereotypical Hollywood starlet?
Mm.
What'd you think about Angelina Jolie in her day? Because she had the look of an Italian woman without...
Well, she's not Italian, is she?
No, I'm saying she had that dark hair, the look.
She was absolutely beautiful.
So you liked her?
Yeah.
In the day, I'm saying.
I can't believe you didn't like Sophia Loren.
She was softer. Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
She was softer than Sophia Loren. Sophia Loren is...
What?
Edgy featured.
Was she?
Yeah.
Even in her day?
Yeah.
All right. The high cheekbones and stuff, you don't...
The eyes.
You know, I like a high cheekbone. Don't get me wrong. I don't know, it's just, I don't know why. It just, you know, never, Sophia Loren just
Because
never.
You like the Nordic types.
I do, but I mean, it's not the only type I like. Let's go to Aaron now at Norristown. Oh, dude, Aaron was calling today. Oh, Aaron, oh!
Flyer! Oh, here we go.
I'll get like that, Michael. I want to thank you, first of all, for last night. Thank you for last night, by the way. So anyway,
what, did you play Wisconsin?
No.
What?
I attended the game.
Oh, you went. That's right. We gave you tickets for that game last night. That's right. Okay, I forgot.
So anyway, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So here's my opinion on the Flyers. I'm not anticipating them to make a run deeper than maybe the second round. However, I called you last week. The trade deadline is a very important time for them right now. What they're going to do with whether Nolan Patrick comes back or not, with all the guys that they can pick up, they're not only in third place, Michael, they're 6 points behind a very slumping Capitals team that is free-falling. And they still have to play them again before the end of the year. And the Capitals have to play the Penguins 3 times before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If they catch the Capitals and they get into second place and they're a home team, they don't lose at home. That goalie doesn't lose at home. They have the best goals against margin at home of any team in the NHL, a plus 45.
Mm-hmm.
They're a more dangerous team than I think you may even realize. This is not like just every year.
That's why I'm talking about it. I want to know whether you think, like, what kind of run? What is the playoff future?
It's all based upon the matchups. Because for the teams that, like somebody else mentioned on your show earlier, unfortunately, the teams that are in the top positions have not fared too well. The Flyers, I think, are 11-4-3 against teams in first and second place in their conference. And they are not a good out for anybody. The only team that I'm really worried about them playing is the Penguins. I mean, they just outplayed the Lightning in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's goalie stole that game. They dominated them except for the first 5 minutes of the game. It's all about the matchups. I mean, if they match up against the Capitals and they wind up matching against the Bruins and they won 4 in a row and this coach can out-coach their coach, which he's proven, they can win 2 rounds and that would be great. And realistically, they'll probably win.
Well, if they can win 2 rounds, that's a run. That's what I'm asking. Like, what kind of a run can these two teams make?
Well, the Sixers obviously can go deeper. They're a more talented team, and they're in a better position.
I don't know. I don't know. I look at the Sixers. I'm not seeing 2 rounds at the Sixers. If you say seeing 2 rounds at the Flyers have gone further than the Sixers.
Well, the Flyers, I'll give you this. I think the Flyers have a better coach in their sport than the Sixers do in theirs. He's more playoff tested, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, he's a very accomplished coach.
Right, and he knows how to get the max out of that team. I mean, they're a forechecking machine. You can't get out of your zone against this team. I've never seen anything like this since. It's been years. I've never seen anything.
You get the hockey horn.
I'm going to take you off your seat right now, Michael. Did you see that amazing play by G in the third period from his knees setting up that goal?
It
was a game changer.
You're a G hater.
It made it 5-1. It was a game changer.
Oh, so you're being sarcastic. Oh, all right. Every goal counts, Aaron. Every goal counts.
Yes, Bobby Clark and the all-time Flyers assist. He might be a better player than Bobby Clark. He might have taken
it. You're too much, man. All right. Would you like a general knowledge question?
I'm actually have tickets to both those. The one thing's by my house, and I'm going to the carnival. But I wanted to quickly say,
did you
guys see the pregame with the DJ for the Flyers who played that remix of the Action News opening?
I was reading about that.
You got to get it on your air. You got to play it. It was awesome.
Let's try to get that. It was a remix of the Action News theme they played.
Oh, yeah. DJ Reed Streets.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, we can't.
Oh.
It's a conflict. Wouldn't we get kosher?
Sophia Loren.
Huh?
No, I'm kidding. Just changing the subject.
I just looked at her. She's 85.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Nat.
She still looks good.
I can't go there at 85.
I'm not asking you. I'm just saying she looks good.
I didn't even go there when she was 35.
You don't have to.
6'1". No. The most beautiful Italian woman was Monica Bellucci.
Oh, when she was like, oh yeah,
she's very
Monica Bellucci, fashion model. Actress.
She's one of Matrix movies.
She was a little, but she looks like she's got a little like mix in her.
See?
She's a little softer.
What do you mean?
I like
softer?
Him softer. I like him a little softer. I don't know.
I mean, Bellucci, yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She looks like Sophia Loren.
No, she doesn't.
She does.
No.
A little bit.
No, she does not.
A little bit. I'm looking at her right now.
She looks like she has an Eastern Euro blend to her.
Right.
What?
So then you can't claim that you like her just because, like, that's your Italian type. Because she has an Eastern
she's
blend.
The, to me, she's the most beautiful Italian woman. Much more than Sophia Loren And give me five top Italian. Like you got to like the old school. Like
no, we'll think about
on
it.
On the other side, we'll get it, and you won't like them. But the women will all be attractive.
Correct.
Italian women?
Yes.
Yes, we'll do it.
Well,
on the
I can't even think of five.
Well, we can.
All right. 610-622-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:49. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Talking about Gareth Fallo at Folo. I always make that mistake with him. 4:30, he's coming up on NFL Network. We get to low down what the Eagles are looking for in free agency and the draft. Is General Knowledge Wednesday. General Knowledge presented by Testo North America. The choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. General Knowledge categories today are easy general knowledge, which was supposed to get 100% correct, and we got one wrong already. So the third question is coming next. Let's go to Jeff in Camden. Jeff, you're a 97.5 Fanatic.
What's going on, Mike?
Hello, Jeff.
Well, so, I mean, what is the solution? I remember, I took great heed to what you were saying as far as Ben Simmons, when he was, probably going to get shut down in the playoffs when he tries to attack and be aggressive.
I mean, I don't know if he is or not. I'm just saying, here's how teams are going to play him. They're going to play him the same way they played him last year. Now, if he can attack his way through that, good. But my sense is he's not going to attack his way through it. So that's why I like that little step back jump shot that he shot last Tuesday.
Cool, man. But I mean, it has to be more frequent as we lead up to the playoffs, or else when he stops. I saw Brett Brown at one point take him out of the game at the end of the game. And if he's convinced that he's not going to help at the end of the game, that might just have to be it. You take him out and put somebody in.
He's not doing that. He's not doing all that.
At the end of the game. When you need a shot at the end of the game.
No, he's not doing all that.
Because you want the defense. You want the defense that had Kawhi Leonard sink a jump shot, even though everybody defended him. Because great players make great shots.
Yes. But you're not going to see Ben Simmons off the floor.
Okay.
Well, who would be a better adequate replacement? You take Ben off the floor at the end of the game. Where is the advantage?
I don't know, man. You can plug Richardson at the point guard position.
Yeah, it's not an advantage, though. You're taking a better player off the floor for what reason?
There's somebody that's going to shoot and may make it and can also defend.
Yeah, Richardson. I mean, how many guys do they have that are reliable shooters that you're going
to
say?
I'm not trying to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, move on to your next point.
All right. Philly's baseball.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This pitching rotation, man. Can you count on Jake Arrieta opening day or, throughout the season at his age? Is Jake Arrieta
up? No, you can't is the answer to that. And I got to be honest with you. I can't even count on Aaron Nola.
Whoa.
Listen, you saw him lose it twice last year. He couldn't win a game in two separate parts of that season. Now, he's a nice pitcher, but...
Evolved pitcher.
He's a what?
Evolved pitcher.
He's an evolved pitcher, huh?
He's coming into his own.
He is?
You recognize that.
His ERA was like 4 last year.
Yeah, it's a bad team last year. Bad team.
No.
Bad.
He had two bad spells in the season
last year. So you got to go see somebody and get over this traumatic experience with the Italian women because your mom threw meat at you.
No, my mom never threw meat at me. My mom was a kind-hearted Pentecostal woman. I said in The Sopranos, the crazy Italian that he was got involved with threw meat at him. Oh, I never get meat thrown at me. I just don't. It doesn't make any sense. It's probably because in my brain, I want to experience something different than what I am.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nothing more than that. It's like I didn't see many blonde-haired women growing up, so
they're like exotic to you.
Right. It's just, All right, so what was your Italian list there? What do you got?
We got them.
All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa Tomei.
I like her.
All right. Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
And Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
We found out that Rose McGowan, pre-plastic surgery, born in Italy.
Rose McGowan was born in Italy.
Born in Italy. What, did you like her in her day?
She's not. She doesn't have Italian genes, does she? That's because she was born in Italy. Doesn't mean she was. She has Italian genes. Her name's McGowan.
I think she has an Italian mother.
Oh, okay. That's half.
Well, do you
not
like her?
Surely Italian. Rose McGowan?
Yeah. In her day. Now she's went through some things. Yeah. You didn't like her?
No, it's not like you disliked her. It's not.
And top five, beautiful model, Carla Bruni.
Don't know her.
Well, cool real fast. And we'll talk about it in the 4 o'clock hour.
Carla Bruni.
Good old Carla Bruni.
Sounds attractive.
Well, I guess I assume C-R-U-N-I. Look her up Carla during Bruni? Break to get
okay.
the
Okay, let me see if I can roll with Carla Bruni. I'm sure she's a beautiful woman. Listen, these are all beautiful women.
All right.
I'm not saying they're not beautiful women. They're beautiful Italian women.
They're just not like
just
five.
They don't flow that way.
If you had to pick one, who would be, other than Monica Bellucci, of the other four, who would you pick? Between Marissa Tomei, Milano, McGowan, Carla Bruni.
I don't know, man.
You don't like a Marissa Tomei in her day?
She's all right.
She's just all right.
Okay. I don't think she's a stirring beauty. She's cute. why are you getting mad at me here?
We're not mad. You're just saying. Mad at me.
Prejudice against Italians.
This day and age.
I can't believe this.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You're always talking about the pizza boxes. Now look at you.
In their own context, they're absolutely beautiful women.
I got you.
And I don't flow that way.
Yeah, you're just not attracted to them.
It's hard for me to say I'm not attracted to Monica Bellucci, but
yeah, they're not your type.
Monica, Mr. Tomei, I go, she's a pretty girl.
So if it's Melissa Tomei and Claudia Schiffer in their day standing next to each other.
Claudia Schiffer.
Right.
It's not even close.
Right.
All right. 4 o'clock hour. Mike Mastelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.